This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah & Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Here we are. Scoreboard Show is here. The phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. The Jags fall to the Indianapolis Colts. 44-17. But the future is here. Hope can get you elected, according to Fred Taylor. It's the future. Blake Bortles, in the second half, he will start for the Jags moving forward.
Only problem with that nickname is eventually you have to change it. Right?
You hope it's not always the future.
You want him to be right now. And for Jaguar fans, that was the one saving grace if you stuck it out. And the disappointment was obvious in the first half. The cascade of boos, Bortles, and very understandable as well. And they got what they were hoping for. Didn't get it as soon as they would have liked it, but they saw a glimpse of what that future can be.
You know, Gus Bradley made the point in his post-game comments to Jeff Lagerman. Chad Henning made the point to Jeff Lagerman, too, that they discussed this possibility this week amongst the quarterbacks and the coaching staff, that if things aren't going well, if the offense is not performing, then we can make a change. And Chad Henning said it in his press conference earlier this week on Wednesday, too, that, and we played it on the pregame show today, if we don't perform, if we don't score, then there's going to be a change. Like, they knew that going in. So it was addressed. They followed the plan like they had, at least going into the game today, and the offense wasn't moving. They made the change, and some things happened in the second half.
I think it was the plan. Like you said, it was a unique circumstance. You know, talking to Fred a few moments ago on some of the breaks, he was wondering, you know, was that the conversation to have with your quarterback? Hey, if you're not getting it done, you might have to look over your shoulder and understand that. But I think what Gus Bradley wanted to do was – just be very transparent with Chad Henne right from the beginning. And when Dave Caldwell went out there and signed him, they've had conversations with him right from that point. We want to bring you in and give you every opportunity to have that job, to hold that job. And they did do that. But he knew right from the jump they were going to draft a quarterback this year. Didn't know necessarily they'd take one third overall. But once they did, the clock was ticking. Chad said it all summer long. I got to win games. My job is to keep my job. He kind of said with a chuckle. And in other words, I got to play well enough to be deserving of that. I think they gave him, based on the way they had set it up, the rope they felt like they needed to, JP. Couple of road games.
That's fair.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what? Let's give him one more chance. Come out here at home. See if he can spark this offense and get it going. When it was clear it wasn't happening, Chad knew it was time.
Because last week's line play was just so poor. It was 10 sacks, and you couldn't have time to do anything. No matter whose blame it was, it just didn't work. You couldn't run the ball. It was a road game in the NFC East against the Redskins. I mean, all that, you got to give them at least one more chance. They did that. Now it's done, and they got Bortles in the game.
And you got in a guy whose mobility helped them in a couple of instances. One hit
no
a big,
doubt about
who,
it.
One who was going to run into a sack, and he was able to run out of it and come back complete opposite side of the field that he was going to and hit a nice play to Will T for a first down, and a couple of other instances when he escaped out of there and picked up first downs on his own with his feet. So
here are the final quarterback stats if you're interested. Chad Henne, 4 of 7, 33 yards in the first half, sacked three times, rating of 69.3. So Bortles comes in the second half. 14 of 24 passing, 223 yards, two touchdowns, and two interceptions, a rating of 82.5, sacked one time in the game. You know, that's what you want. You want a guy that's going to take some chances. The interceptions, he said in his post-game press conference, not acceptable, but he's taking chances down the field. That's going to happen with a young quarterback.
That's the attitude he needs to have. And that's what they love about him so much. The makeup. When you hear about makeup, it's the way you carry yourself, the way you think about being a professional, think about the position. But let's not kid ourselves. When he threw that touchdown to Allen Hurns, you see him come to the sideline. He had a grin on his face. He should have a grin on his face, man. It's your first NFL action. You grew up pretty much down the road. you get in here and you're able to get some points on the board and get some positive feeling.
By the way, that touchdown to Hearns, nice play by Hearns.
That was a great play by Hearns. Broke a couple of tackles and kept fighting. And here's a guy who hadn't had many looks in the game. And when he finally gets the ball in his hands, he was able to make a big play. And I guess he's a bit of an end zone magnet right now. 355-NFL-1, the number. 355-6351, outside the 904 area, 1-800-355-NFL-1 gets you dialed up on the Scoreboard Show. Let's go to them right now. They're not going to say, why are we not playing Blake? Maybe they're going to say, why didn't we play him sooner? Well, let's find out. Let's go to Kevin in McClenny to start us off today on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Just great.
Okay. Couple questions or comments. First off, congratulations to you guys. It is getting harder to get through.
It's busy. It's busy.
Yeah,
I don't think it has anything to do with us.
Congratulations to Bortles.
So I guess you were happy with a change at quarterback, huh?
Yes, I was. And I've called in numerous times before. But I have a question regarding the officiating. In the first half, offside by the Colts, unabated to the quarterback. The ref blows the whistle, the guy keeps going, and flattens the quarterback. Now, it's not like basketball with continuation. And then at halftime,
the flag,
you know, they have to throw the red flag, which is technically a penalty, but it cost them a timeout. But the other choice was to call a timeout. And then at the end of the play, end of the game, Baltimore grabs the ball, running around with it while the clock's running. And what are these officials doing? I'll take the call and listen to it on the radio. I just want to get your opinion.
Thank you, Kevin.
That. Yeah, I remember that. Clock's running down, and he called them Baltimore, but that's okay.
Right.
They were
the Colts.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, they were running down the field. They should have stopped. It probably cost them about 8 seconds. Didn't cost them anything in the end.
The game was out of reach.
And they ended up scoring the touchdown anyway with Cecil Shorts.
Weird things happen when you're not playing good football with officiating crews, too. I mean, it just happens sometimes. It seems like to me. I don't know.
And look, in that circumstance, you're thinking as the coach, that should be replayed by the booth. It's inside 2 minutes. I'm going to do something. Maybe you should just call the timeout and give them that time to do it, but you're going to get that call anyway. As long as you have a timeout, they're going to give that to you in that circumstance. So we'll move on. Kevin, glad you're at least a little bit excited about the future here. Let's go to Kevin in Sandalwood next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing? I'm so the game from downtown. Sandalwood, I love your show. Guys are doing great in your show.
Appreciate it, man.
Look, the future's here. I mean, it's an upset in the second half. It's time for a change. They look way better than last week. Way better. Better poise, better passing. Toby Gerhardt's actually got his running game. It looks promising. That's all I'm saying. It looks very promising. So anyone out there basically who's thinking that it's going to be 0-3 like last year, wake up. Change is here. Future's here.
All right, let's go. Thanks, Kevin.
He's going to start moving forward. He'll start this week in San Diego. Gus Bradley said he's the guy that – the next phase of his development is here, and that's to play in games.
Yeah, and I do think that, at least I hope, that the over will not stretch out like it did last year, that they'll be able to break through and get that victory.
You got to get some defense somewhere.
That's the thing, right?
Oh, my goodness.
There are elements that no matter who's playing quarterback are out of their hands. They've been out of Chad Henne's hands. They're going to be out of Blake Bortles' hands, and that includes particularly that entire side of the football, but there's only so much you can do. There's some things you can do to improve that line play. Get rid of the ball quickly, pre-snap reads, quick decision-making, slide your feet in the pocket, and things like that. But there's a limit to it. There's nothing you can really do to help the other team other than pick up first down, sustain some drives, and give them a little bit of rest. But they were not very good right from the beginning today as well. 355-NFL-1, let's go across the pond. Chris calling in from the UK in England. What's up, Chris? How are you?
Well, today, hi, guys.
Hey, man, what's up?
By the way, sorry about that. Well, today's game was kind of a tale of two halves for me today. First half of the game, I was drinking so much it wasn't even funny through pure depression. And then Blake Bortles comes onto the field and completely changes everything. And it was just really cool to see because, I mean, I was watching the game on NFL Game Pass, and I could hear the crowd and all the guys from at the stadium shouting Bortles and Bortles, and cheering when he came on and stuff like that. But just it was just some of the plays that he did that were just I know we haven't seen him for a long time, but it was just, I know it sounds crazy, but it was amazing to see, like buying time in the pocket and that pass to Allen Hurns for the touchdown. That was really cool to see, and obviously I'm being a little bit selfish here, but I can't wait to see Blake play at Wembley. You know, it's going to be it makes it not as scary to play this Cowboys.
You know what? That's fair. That's really
a good point.
The way that Jags played over there last year, you want a better result, at least at Wembley, certainly moving forward against the Cowboys. But to his point, you know, this is a guy that can escape pressure, it seems like. The few plays we saw that today, he can make some things out of nothing, find an open guy on the run, and, you know, run for 20 yards if he needs to on a designed quarterback keeper. There are a few more options, it seems like, with Bortles in there because of his athleticism and his sixth sense.
Even when the play calls the same, we don't know, but you got to assume there's a lot of similarities between the offense, the way it's called. He, just like in the preseason, he's looking to drive the ball down the field. And whether it's his pocket presence that's given a little bit more time to let those plays develop, or the protection's a little bit better on those plays, whatever the case may be, he is driving the ball down the field. Gus Bradley's pointed it out. He pointed out how he wanted Chad Henne to do more of that. That's not been in Chad's makeup, really. And I can understand, based on the beating he took last week. What, you want me to stand back there, take a 7-step drop? It's understandable, but the facts are, Bortles has been able to do that in every glimpse we've seen him. By the way, we follow Chris on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
And vice versa. We knew all of your activities in the first half today.
It was quite a first half in the UK. And we appreciate him calling. It's past, 10:20 p.m. in London right now. We'll come back on the Scoreboard Show. We'll update some scores around the NFL. The later games are underway. More of your calls. Phone lines are jammed. 355-NFL1. 355-6351. 44-17 loss. The Colts win it over the Jags, but the Bortles era is here. More of the Scoreboard Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Scoreboard Show. Final score, 44-17. The Jags fall to the Indianapolis Colts, but the big story is the change in quarterback for the Jaguars. In the second half, Blake Bortles comes in. We'll get to some more of your calls coming up. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll update you on some scores of the later games. It's halftime in Arizona, where the 49ers are leading the Cardinals 14-6. Kaepernick, 14 of 18, passing 116 yards and a touchdown. The Seahawks lead the Broncos late in the second quarter, about 3 minutes to play. 10-3, Seahawks with the lead there. Wilson, 7 of 8, 103 yards and a touchdown. Manning is efficient, 11 of 13, but only 87 yards passing. And the Broncos only have a field goal to show in the rematch of last year's Super Bowl. And they fumbled on the first offensive play today again, too. How about that?
They did, but they held defensively and forced that field goal.
That's
by
right.
Seattle. But they definitely seem to be more willing to run a little clock today than most days.
Chiefs lead the Dolphins 7-0. That's late in the first half. And, of course, tonight, Steelers at the Panthers. Let's get to some more phone calls there, Michael.
Let's do it. Let's head over to the north side. Jamal is next up here on the Scoreboard Show at 355-NFL1. Hello, Jamal.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's good, up, man? What's up?
All right. Real quick, I was at the game today, and it just seemed like when Henne was in, you know, the team, it don't seem like much energy was flowing through the team, but for whatever reason, the second half and Bortles came in, it's like the energy of the team changed and throughout the stadium. And then the question I would like to take off is that if Gus had decided to keep Chad in for the rest of the remainder of the game and didn't put Bortles in nor named Bortles a start on today, how you think that would have played out on this week?
Really?
Really?
Night. Really, Jamal, you know the answer to that. I mean, how would that have played out in the second half? What fans would have remained, the din would have been deafening. And, you know, I you get why he did it. There was certainly a side of me that thought he wouldn't make that move because Blake came into this game not getting first team reps, not, you know, you're putting him in a situation down 30-0 where this team is basically doing anything it wants to on both sides of the football. So it wasn't an ideal situation, which even bodes better for the future of Blake Bortles, because he was thrown into a difficult spot. Let's get him a few weeks of first team reps, and let's play some, you know, some teams that you don't, you when you start out, you're not in that 30-0 hole. Go out there and make something happen for this team. As far as the energy, look, I think Blake, by extending plays, you know, guys maybe feel like, hey, there's if I stick with it, if I stick with this block for a half second longer, if I work a little bit harder, it's not that let me be clear. I don't think they're trying harder. I think the results are
right.
Because he is making that play have a few extra milliseconds to develop, you're getting those opportunities down the field.
That's all you need in this league is just a half a second to break loose.
So little time.
And
right?
Just a small window to throw it into, and things are totally different. And now, I don't know about on the defensive side. You know, Jeff was asking Red Bryant in the locker room earlier how that went on the whole sideline. Yeah, you can say what you say, but I don't know if that affects the energy defensively, does it?
I got to believe early on.
Well, they got him off the field.
When you come out, you know, that first drive, that the Jags almost had a sack. They had three guys that had a shot at Luck.
Yeah.
That would have killed the drive right there. There's nothing, no reason that your energy's not at a peak to start the football game. But as that first half drags on and they're scoring on every possession, some of it has got to be due to the fact that
for most 20 minutes.
Right. You had 28 yards until the final two offensive plays of the first half for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yep. Off to the south side we go. Let's welcome in Saqib to the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Saqib.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's up, boys?
What's up?
Howdy.
You can hear it in his voice.
Hey, you know,
happy man.
Hey, my birthday is on Tuesday, right? I'm going to be 31. This is the best birthday present you can have by starting this kid, right? But let me ask you guys a few stuff. When he came in, you know the play that he did to throw to the fullback when he almost got sacked?
Yeah.
That just tells you the defense is scared of the, you know, the defense is going to be watching this guy the rest of the year. They know what he can do, and I'm excited to see him against San Diego. But let me ask you guys this: defense, this is horrible, dude. Like, what can they do to stop this? Like, we need to get some defensive stops. Like, this is not unexcusable for what's going on the defense.
Well, thanks for the call. You know, it was just shuddering to see this first half when you had wide receivers just running 10 yards wide open on the secondary. That's something you
the one Kobe
just didn't
Blader
expect to see.
That is as wide open as you can be in the National Football League.
There were a couple in the first two drives, and I heard Jeff mention it during the game broadcast. They didn't throw to T.Y. Hilton, who was open, streaking down the field. So they might have missed a couple of other deep ones in this game. How do you fix it? I mean, you talk about what Fred did. Go back to the chalkboard, and, I mean, the guys are who they are.
There's no quick magic elixir, right? I mean, you just
and it's on everybody. It's not just secondary. It's on the line. Get more push. It's on the linebackers. It's on the secondary to cover them up. I mean, what do you do?
On offense, maybe it doesn't fix it, but improves it. You could say, we got this guy that we drafted that we can put in. We can change the dynamic on that side of the football. There's nothing that is the equivalent of that on the other side. There's no cavalry that's going to ride in and save this team. You could pick up a few guys, odds and ends along the way. You're mostly churning the very bottom of the roster. In terms of the front line guys that they're expecting big things out of, they've just got to start playing better. Simple as that.
And part of this, like we've said, I think if the offense finds some kind of momentum, stays on the field a little longer, maybe it gives – this is a small idea – but gives them a little more – of a chance to just catch their breath on the sideline. If you're out there for 20 minutes and a half, I mean, that's
still
doesn't a long
explain
time.
When
it
they're scoring on every possession in the first quarter either.
That's
not
what I mean by that.
Right.
But it's some kind of start, maybe. It is a balanced game. You got to have some balance.
A little bit would help. Any positive would help.
We'll see what happens in San Diego.
Let's go out to Tallahassee, JP. Jonathan is calling in on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Good.
What's up?
Oh, I tell you what, my day has finally been met. I tell you what, I am so happy that they finally put Bortles in and that he's – is he going to be the starter going forward now?
Yeah, Gus did say, Jonathan, thank you, and we're glad you are happy. He's a regular.
I couldn't tell if he was happy or sad there for a second.
No, I think he just was – couldn't believe
that emotionally
his wish had finally come true. But no, Gus said immediately in the post game to Jeff Lagerman that's it. To paraphrase, basically the Blake Bortles era has begun, and he's going to get that opportunity now. And they've turned the page, and let's hope this is the first appearance of the next 15 years of great quarterback play for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
How about 17 years?
I'm not going to push.
Come on, Mike.
I'm not going to push my luck.
Aim
I'm going to settle for a decade and a half, and I'm going to be happy with that, JP, and then I'm going to retire. Man. All right?
You are much older than
I am.
If I am,
and if I get 15 good years out of Blake, sayonara, baby. Let's go to Frank, who's downtown, calling in on 355-NFL-1. Hi, Frank.
Hey, hi, guys. How you doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, I've been working for the Jaguars. I worked for SP Parking for 13 years. I never worked a playoff game. I grew up in Indianapolis, but when they drafted Blake Bortles, I was a Blake Bortles fan from the beginning, and I think he should have started first game. This guy is when he goes in there, the team is a totally different team, and I think the defense can play a lot better. When they go into San Diego, I think Jaguars can pull that game off, and I think they're going to overtake the Colts because Colts they can beat them. When they go into Indianapolis later in the year, it's going to be a lot closer game. And I think, and isn't it kind of nice to have a post-game show and have a lot of people calling in positive calls?
Yeah, it's nice when you can lose by 27 and still have that feeling, yeah.
It is.
Yeah, but that's only going to last so long, too.
Bold predictions
well,
there. Yeah?
I think, yes, but I think he's saying they can overtake, head-to-head. The next outing versus the Colts doesn't have to be this one-sided. I think it's fair. I mean, look, we've seen it. We've seen teams get whipped in the division, turn around, win the next encounter. Right now, they just need to go out there and play four good quarters of football. Let's start with that against San Diego before we're putting anybody in Canton.
Yeah, what did we say? Let's sustain some drives first.
Let's just get a few first downs, people. Right? That's what we said at halftime.
That's exactly
we got
what
our
we
wish
said.
There, and we're on to the next step. All right, let's take a timeout.
Yeah, Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jags. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. Phone lines are open. They're jammed, too. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. More of your calls. We'll keep you posted on the scores in the National Football League as well. Final score at Everbank today, 44-17. Colts over the Jags. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Hey, Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Ford, go further. Scoreboard show continues, 44-17, the final. I don't know, just J.P. Shatterick with Mike Dempsey. I don't know, Mike, if we've heard many of the angry defensive callers yet, because I'm sure some folks are unhappy. Saquib was upset about the defense, but yes, it's all more about the quarterback and the future of the offense today, at least the feel so far in this show.
Look, I'd like to believe the Jaguars will go 13-3 this year, okay? But I think most fans...
Did you just call it?
No, I did not. I said I'd like to believe
that. I don't
know.
I think
that.
I just heard it.
I don't believe that, however. Okay. But I think most fans are realistic. I mean, right now, they're 0-3. I don't think most Jaguar fans had this team in the playoffs this year. But they're tired. If they're going to lose, they want to lose with the young guys getting developed in front of their eyes and seeing what they can bring to the team. And they saw that today. And I think this is what they've been clamoring for. And, yeah, you know what? If they lose the next four or five in a row and it's a repeat of last year's start, then no matter, this excitement's going to ebb too. But for right now, this is what they've been looking forward to the entire offseason through 3 weeks of the regular season. So I think it's as satisfying as it can be with an 0-3 record.
I think if it goes, like you said, four or five more of these, then it won't be as violence too strong a word, as angry as last year, because there's hope, because this is the guy of the future, no matter what. And
oh, he's clearly that.
He's going to be the guy moving forward, and I think that's something that has been lacking the last couple of years. They haven't had a hopeful quarterback.
Right. What does the future bring you? And you suffered through a few years where you had to give the top 10 pick an opportunity to, pass or fail, and he failed. Yep. And this guy already has created more excitement this offseason than the previous high draft pick did the entire time he was here, I believe. So...
Let's play some defense.
Off we go.
Now. How about
Let's
that?
Play a little defense. They spent a lot of money on that side of the ball. At least they brought in some key veterans to plug up that side of the football. 355 NFL 1. Let's go to Jason downtown now on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Jason.
Honestly, I didn't tell the producer or whatever what I was calling it about. Your conversation is the perfect segue to my question because I am the first guy that's going to call and bitch about the defense. Sorry about that word. But Blake Bortles being the starter, that is very exciting. But, you know, when do we start maybe losing a little faith in the coach that we have and the people that are evaluating the talent? If he's a defensive mind and he brought all these guys in this year that were supposed to make our defense work the way he wanted it to, and that's the one part of the team that is definitely not showing improvement. It actually seems like it's getting worse. So when do we have the right to start questioning the coach, their plan, their talent evaluation? And I'll take your answers off the air.
Yeah, the right to do that anytime you like.
I think you just did.
I believe you did. Yeah, you don't have to couch it in the form of when we. You can. You clearly are questioning that. I'll say this. In terms of the fit, you bring in two guys that excelled in this very defense in Seattle. Now, are they at the peak of their careers at Chris Clements or Red Bryant? Maybe not, okay? But they were good enough to be starters on a Super Bowl championship defense that was considered on a par with the 85 Bears in many regards. So I don't know about misevaluating guys. I think they were brought in here to show the way as much as play well on Sundays, but they certainly were brought in here to play well on Sundays. I don't think you can argue with the contract that they gave Derek Marks in the offseason. He got that based on merit. He earned that last year. He's still young. He fits the model of what a young, developing team is supposed to be. Now, are you going to have problems with all the youth in the secondary? A young guy like Telvin Smith, they're going to make their share of mistakes too. You just felt like, or at least I felt, JP, that there were enough guys in that front four, eight or nine deep, that were going to put some consistent pass rush on quarterbacks and certainly make it difficult to run on this football team, that everybody else behind them who maybe weren't up to their level were going to get the benefit of those guys playing in front of them, and that just hasn't come to pass. And I don't know if that's the coaching. I'm certainly coaching's got to take some of the blame for it. But, you know, Fred Taylor told us less than an hour ago, this comes down to individuals understanding what they're supposed to do and going out there and executing it. But you can put all the blame you want on Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley. It's free country.
X's and O's are important, but Jimmy's and Joe's are pretty darn important too. And that was the line going in. There's nine guys that are going to rotate in and out, keep them fresh. And Derek's not going to play 900 snaps this year. That was the problem that he had last year. He was out there all the time. Now he's not as much, and that should have improved things across the board. It is early. It's 3 weeks in, and maybe it's just a early week thing, but it's starting to become more of a trend than you'd like.
And let's be realistic here. When it comes to the general manager of a football team that just drafted a quarterback third overall, it's Blake Bortles that Dave Caldwell is ultimately judged on. Right or wrong, if Blake Bortles turns into a star, even if almost all the rest of them don't, he will be seen as a guy who is making the right moves because he made the most important move correctly. You know, Indy had shaky defense for years. They didn't run Bill Polian out for an awfully long time because he drafted the right quarterback who made up for a lot of that stuff. We'll see if Blake can turn into that kind of guy. Let's go to William.
No pressure, Blake.
No pressure whatsoever. I didn't say he has to be the next Peyton Manning.
Come on, Peyton.
He needs to be a franchise quarterback.
That's why he's here.
That's right. He needs to eventually turn into a top 10 threat at the quarterback position in the National Football League. William is next in Mandarin. Hey, William, how are you?
Hey, guys. Hey, I just wanted to call up and comment today. I kind of was peeking at the game a little bit while I was at work and watching and listening on the radio. My problem today is, and what I want to call about is, it's all last week I kept hearing about, it was this, it was that, and what I was hearing a lot of was, it's not Henny. I mean, of course, he was responsible for a few of those 10 sacks that we got, but I kept hearing this thing about, it's not Henny. I mean, I'm no football expert. I'm Joe Blow on the street that watches the games on TV and goes once a year when I can afford it. That's not football. Whatever he's doing, that's not football. When you bring in a rookie that has the same line, because I didn't see him bringing out his own line, I didn't see him bringing out his own receivers, and all his running backs. When you bring out a rookie and he does that in the second half, what are we doing? I don't get it. I'm tired of the team sort of being sort of disingenuous when people can see with their own eyes. And it's like, please, stop it. People are going to get tired of that. Now, I'm tired of it already. I'm glad Blake Bortles is in. But, again, I'm Joe Blow. I know he's not Blaine Gabbert. He should have been playing from day one. And people are not liking, a lot of my friends, we're talking about this, we're not liking the team not being honest with us. They should have put him out since day one, and I'll take your comments off the air.
Well, he wasn't in from day one, and that's the past. And now he's in there, and will be in there from week four moving forward. So, yes, there's going to be a group that feels that way, and that's the way it's going to be.
I have never heard one person say that none of this is Chad Henne's fault, including the coaching staff. Is he solely responsible for it? No. I still don't think he's solely responsible for it. He is who he is as a quarterback. He has a certain skill set. Now, if you can say his lack of escapability is responsible for it. Okay.
Partly.
But you're putting him in a situation last week where he could barely plant his foot on his third step on a three-step drop without getting absolutely hammered. Now, does Henne need to take more chances, or did he, or whatever? Would he have been more successful doing some different things? Sure, he plays a role in the blame. He's got to take his share of it. But I still don't think it was completely his fault out there. Keep in mind, one thing today, if Henne has that half, fans are mildly impressed, but they're saying, well, he threw a pick six. He threw another bad interception. Right now, and understandably so, you're going to overlook the mistakes that a rookie quarterback makes in his debut out there. But he made a share of them, too. It doesn't matter. It's a moot point. I don't think the coaching staff is lying. I think they're telling you how they feel about the situation.
Honestly,
not going to change your mind about it.
Right. They're going to feel how they feel. And we've known that for, you know, training camp and 3 weeks into the season. And fans being upset with that is not going to change that. That's what they felt from the beginning. That's what they felt every week. They follow their heart. They follow their plan. The plan changed a bit this week going into the game, we've heard, of course. You know, they've all talked about it. It all came to fruition today with the bad offensive output. And they made the move. And that's it.
If anything, I would accuse his coaching staff of being too honest, more so than deceitful.
They didn't have to say anything at all.
That's my point of view. Look,
right.
William's a fan. He has every right. You'd be mad. You can criticize. You can call for their jobs. You can do whatever you want. It's called being a sports fan. Have at it. Let's go to John in Keystone Heights. Next up here on the Scoreboard
Don't
Show.
Call for my job.
Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's up?
Well, I was listening to stuff. I was going to say something about the quarterback. I sure the heck wouldn't want to be our defense, and you know, the first quarter, what was there? Maybe there was 2-3 and outs, and the rest of the time they were on the field. I mean, that isn't good either. That's hard, and it isn't just the fact that they probably got tired. It's the fact they probably got tired of it being 3 and out, and now we're back in again too. The thing about Bortles is I wish he would have. Everybody said he needed to start this game. I think he should have started this game, and I'm wondering why they didn't understand that that's the guy that should have started this game, because now after the game's over with, I mean, we lost. Actually, we won the first quarter of the first game, and we won the second quarter of the third game.
You know, in the second, you mean the second half?
Yeah.
I got you.
No, thanks for the call. I think there's more. It goes back to this. Coaching staff sees him off the field. They see him at practice. They see his development in learning the offense. And that's what they felt. They needed to see him develop away from the field a little bit more. They've done that. They felt he was ready to go if a scenario presented itself this week. And it happened. So, and he said in the postgame, the next step of his development is on the field, whether that was this week or next.
Keep in mind, now Blake's a savvy guy. Blake's going to say the smart thing. But keep in mind what Blake Bortles himself said about the loyalty they showed Chad Henne.
Yep.
He said, look, I think it's fantastic because that shows me when the going gets tough with me, they're not going to bail on me. And that plays in the locker room. It can't play forever. But they brought Chad Henne in here before they ever drafted Blake Bortles to give him every opportunity to win the job, to hold the job, to keep it as long as possible. And I think they felt that based on the way it went last week with the 10 sacks, the lack of a running game, all those things, they wanted to give him one more opportunity. And that will ultimately resonate with some of the veterans in this locker room and some of the rookies as well, as such as number five.
We'll take a timeout on the Scoreboard Show. When we come back, we'll talk field goals for Firehouse, another reason to be happy today. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. More of the Scoreboard Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Scoreboard Show continues, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey after the Jags fall 44-17 to the Colts. Remember, field goals for Firehouse, and when the Jags kick a 40-plus yard field goal, you get a free medium Firehouse sub with your chip and drink purchase. Register at jaguars.com/firehousesubs. And today, everybody's eating. Scobie hit a 41-yard field goal in the third quarter. And that was the opening score for the Jags today after Bortles kind of sparked the Jags offense. But Scobie is a hero today.
Well, if
in terms of Firehouse subs.
Right. He nailed it, but, you know, Bortles drove him into field goal range too. So had he done nothing else, they would have been mildly pleased with his performance.
I see a lot of folks on Twitter thanking Josh Scobie and taking photos of themselves eating the Firehouse sub. You better put Bortles in there too, because he drove him down the field.
He did get him down the field, and everybody else involved in that as well. 355-NFL1, still time for you to get in. Stick around for the fifth quarter with T-Wig and Hacker coming up here on 1010XL. They're going to be rowdy.
Hey, we saw T-Wig today.
We did. He stopped by and say hello. Said hello. Hacker doesn't visit us.
Nope.
So I don't know what's up with that, but we saw just about everybody.
Hey, I heard that Hacker has to eat a little crow coming up in the second show tonight.
Oh, really?
Just about the playing of a quarterback and when is a good time and why shouldn't go in. That's just a rumor. That's just a rumor I heard. So
we'll let
get with him on
with
that in about 15 minutes.
Let's go to Marquise on the south side next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Marquise.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Here's my thing. I've been a fan all my life. Born a Jags fan. I'm 19 years old. I'm going to be a Jags fan all my life. But watching this game and watching the past few games, the anger that I have towards the defense is insane. Aren't we a defensive team? First, we had Del Rio, now he's gone, and now we have Gus. And Gus is a defensive coach, so we should be a great defensive team. And to see that we're 0-3, I am angered. But thank God for Bortles. I love him to death. We are going to go to the Super Bowl between the 17 years that we have. He is going to give us to the Super Bowl, and I am excited, and I cannot wait. But please, our defense has to step up. Please. I am waiting for that, and I am ecstatic to see if our defense will step up to the plate.
See, he called for 17 years, too. 17 years. See, I told you.
I'm only good for the next 15. That's all I can guarantee you.
We're all with you on the defense, though. I mean, it's from the front to the back end, and it's unacceptable.
Let's be fair here. Just because you're a defensive head coach doesn't mean the defense should be great either. You got to have personnel. Now, it should be better than what it is. And we were just discussing that on the break. What is the extent that you talk about a head coach who's got a coordinator who's running the defense? Ultimately, the buck stops with the head coach on everything. Offense, defense, that line not blocking properly on offense, that's on Gus Bradley. It's all on Gus Bradley, and he would tell you that himself. So you should be upset at the play of the defense. It should be better, but just because you've got a defensive presence on that side or as your head coach doesn't make the players automatically that much better. The scheme can help, no question about it. But these guys got to play well as well. Let's go out to the beaches. Mike, you're up next on the Scoreboard Show. How are you? Hi, Mike.
Is there a scenario at all, whether it's number of losses, margin of defeat, that Gus doesn't survive this season, in your opinion?
Sure. I think if they were to lose I'll give you the worst case scenario. If they were to lose the next 13 games by two touchdowns or more, and they go 0-16. Sean Conn runs through some managers of his Fulham soccer club over there. He's not going to accept it forever. I would hope that we're not going to see the worst-case scenario, but there's certainly a worst-case scenario that could get any coach fired.
If there's no longer sustained improvement over that period, if the arrow is constantly going down, which goes against everything Gus has and all that.
You
that
lose
would be the
team.
Scenario.
There's all, you know, all kinds of chaos right. in that regard.
We're a long, not even close to that yet.
Yeah, and I'm almost getting the sense that there's some, I don't know if it's, you know, that's the way people are leaning already. It's
I think fans just, and this is, fans are allowed to do that. They just want somebody's head to roll over this. I mean, just it's 44-17 again. I mean, something's got to pay for this, right? I mean, that's the feeling I believe what we're hearing.
I agree with that. You know, it's like Roger Goodell gets up at his press conference. He talks about accountability. People want specifics. How are you being held accountable? Yeah. What are the repercussions of that? Right now, in reality, there probably are none. For Gus Bradley. I don't think this year is a complete mulligan, but I think this year is about the development of the young core of guys they've drafted over the last couple of years. But, JP, at some point, first of all, last year, they're able to win four games in the second half of the season. I would think that would be at least a reasonable goal to meet last year's win total.
Absolutely.
Over the course of the next 13 games.
No doubt.
Would that cost Gus Bradley if he only wins three games? I don't think so. But like we said, you know, a tragic worst-case scenario, well, there's always that somewhere. I think that's a very long shot.
It's going into week four. How about a little positivity? The Jaguars have a new quarterback, and they're going to San Diego. And we'll see what happens from here, see if the defense can improve. I mean, my cup is half full right now, Mike.
I can tell that.
Half full on this Jaguar team. We're not talking about jobs being lost and all that.
Oh,
let's move on. How about that?
Jerry was, or Mike was.
Yeah, Mike.
Mike was.
Which is fine, but.
That's his prerogative.
I'd really rather not go there right now.
All right, let's go to John on the south side next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, John, how are you?
Hey, hi, how are you? Thanks
Good.
For taking my call.
Sure
John.
Thing. Go ahead.
The purpose of my call, I want to get back to the coaches. I just don't think the coach have the team ready to play at the beginning of the season. I mean, it's the same as it was last year, with some very few exceptions. The first half of last week's game, or week four last now, with the first half of that game, they looked like they was ready. But other than that, the team don't look like they're ready. Don't look like they even belong in the NFL at the beginning of the season. And it was the same way last year. Yeah, we won four games out of the last eight at the end of the season, but Gus keep talking about we're learning every day. But when they sign the contract, they should be NFL players already and at least be competitive. That's my problem. I don't care if we don't ever win a game, but be in every game. And so far, we simply haven't been in any game.
Well, you're in the first game, but your point's made, and I understand your point. I don't think you have to be in every game in the National Football League, but you can't, after the season you had last year, come out and from halftime of game one show really no competitive. Now, you showed some in the second half today, but that's when you're already down 30-0, and that, you know, the dynamic the game takes on changes at that point. I mean, this is why we get these questions, JP. It's understandable. I mean, if you're a fan out there and you say, wait a minute, you know, this coach makes us feel good in the offseason. What has he done to get this team off to a good start? And you can talk about personnel all you want. People are like, look, we look around the National Football League, you know, Buffalo's supposed to stink. They're 2-1, and they've been competitive every week. Cleveland, same deal. You know, they're competitive every week.
How can their guys be so much better than these guys?
And
that's the question.
Right. And people wonder, are they really that much better? If they're not, and you feel like the talent – now, I'm not saying that the roster top to bottom is as talented, matches up with any particular team out there, but should the gulf be as wide as it appears to be? And I think most people agree that it shouldn't.
Phone lines are open. We will try to get to all of your calls in the final segment of the Scoreboard Show, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll catch you up on all the later games today that are active in the National Football League as well. Final segment after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Final segment of the Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, 44-17 final, Colts over the Jags. JTA's stadium shuttle service makes game day more enjoyable by providing hassle-free trips to the stadium. For ticket details and parking lot directions, visit jtafla.com or call 904-630-3100. This injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. Nothing too major today, it seemed like. Paul Posluszny limped off, came back in the game. That should be a concern. We had a knee thing in Washington, right? But it was okay. Came back in that game as well. A bruise, I think it was. You don't want your captain on defense coming off the field limping off at any point. You like that he came back. We'll see how that is moving forward. Winston Guy had some cramps. I don't remember any other major issues. The guys that were banged up going into the game, Cecil Shorts the third coming off the hamstring, apparently came out healthy. Alan Hearns played and had a long touchdown today. So that's good news on the injury front. Last chance to get your calls. We got a few holding on the line, Mike. Let's knock through these real quick.
Let's bang them out. Charlie in Arlington, you're up next on the Scoreboard Show. Go ahead, man. Hi, Charlie.
Tonight, great show. I got a couple comments. Let's change gears a little bit here.
Uh-oh.
And look at the schedule down the road.
Okay.
San Diego's next.
Yes.
Bortles is in. Great. I think he'll do pretty good. He'll put up some points and everything. Steelers are next. They're on down year. They're not doing real good. And you get the Titans, Browns are improved, Dolphins. I can go down the whole list. I'm not going to beat up today's game because, really, you got to look at the big picture. Bortles is a practice year. He's going to do great down the road and all this stuff and everything, but we can't beat him up. Coach is right. Caldwell's right. Everything's right. People are jumping on the bandwagon. Let's question this. Let's question that. Come on. It's going to be a learning year. When Dan Marino, in my years, he was terrible the first year. He was like 3-13. Peyton Manning, I believe, was 3-13. But then the next year, they kicked it up a notch. So we're going in the right direction. And I'll take my comments off the air, and I think we're going in the right direction. Let's just look at the big picture, not at the small picture, and I'll take my comments off the air.
I like that guy. Yeah. Your glass is half full.
I don't recall Marino stinking that bad in his rookie year. Peyton Manning was 3-13. The Dolphins were coming off a Super Bowl, and in Marino's second year, they went to a Super Bowl as well. I don't know what they did. Regardless, that has no bearing on the future of Blake Bortles. Whether he goes 3-13 this year, whether he surprises you and goes 7-9, I think the highlight of that call was there's some definite games they should be more competitive in going forward with some of these teams. All right, Steelers are not a world beater this year. Miami right now is losing to a Kansas City team that hasn't been able to get out of their own way so far this season. So, you know, it's there.
The Eagles are favored to win the NFC East.
They're 3-0.
Redskins are the Redskins. You know, that they have.
They went toe to toe with the Eagles today.
And now they got Cousins, who's playing well.
Threw for over 400 today, by the
right.
way.
Right. This Indianapolis team's favored to win the AFC South, though they started off tough. They had a tough schedule on their own. So. It makes sense. You know,
the Redskins game's the most disappointing one still.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that.
You know, in the end, they hung tough with the Eagles today, but they lost, and they hadn't won a game in 315 days when they beat the Jags. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to Jerry and Mandarin next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Jerry. Hey, Jerry.
Real quick, I was just thinking, it's not just about the offense. I mean, what the hell's going on with the defense? I mean, it don't make no sense to me. We're supposed to have this high-powered defense, and to me, it looks like a bunch of crap. I don't understand it. I mean, you can put the offensive weapons out there all you want to, but if the defense can't stop nobody, it looks like a bunch of crap on the field, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
You can argue with. The defense has been atrocious, really, since the halftime of week one.
By the way, the Dolphins were 12-4 in 1983.
Yeah. Not doesn't quite fit your narrative.
Anyway.
There. But next. Moving on. Fred in Atlanta, who was at the game and drives fast, apparently. Hi, Fred. How are you?
Hey.
What's up, man?
I'm from Savannah.
Oh, you're Savannah, right. Not Atlanta. Got it. What's going on?
Yeah. I'm kind of glad I'm raving about Blake Bortles. And it happened exactly how I wanted to, how I foresaw it, that he was either start the fourth game or he would take over in the second half of this game. So it happened just like I pretty much expected it. So I'm excited about that. But as far as, like, the defense, the coaching, I think that there is a problem with the coaching staff. A lot of people might not feel, you know, like that, but it's like they're not telling them to make a play on the ball. They're waiting for them to they keep waiting for them to catch the ball and then tackle them, and they're getting, like, yardage because of it. But there's no one that's, like, making plays on the ball. Like, they don't have to have a INT, but it's like when Alan Hearns was catching that ball, and the guy came and hit the ball from out of his hand or whatever like that. They're not making plays like that. And the coaching staff, they have the players, but they're not coaching them right to tell them exactly how to close in on the ball or make sure that they be ball hawks and take away the ball and make plays on the ball. So that's what I was thinking about. So I'll take your response.
All right, thank you. I'll disagree with that because I was probably at 90% of every open practice, and that might be a conservative estimate, of every time you're allowed to be out there and observe actual practice all summer long. That defense is all – every defense is taught in today's NFL to attack the football. Every play, every guy that makes a catch in 7-on-7 non-contact drills protects the football the whole way, even after the play's over, because there are three guys coming out running drills trying to swat the ball out of his hand. It's simply not true. Now, are they doing that? No. Do they need to be in better position to do that? Clearly. You want to attack the football. No coach teaches, you know, unless you've got a 30-point lead, let them catch it, stay in bounds, tackle, and keep the clock running. That's not what we're talking about here.
Let's get one last call.
Let's do it,
Mike.
Let's go to Chad in Yulee on line one there. Hey, Chad, how are you?
Great. How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Good, man.
Good. Hey, I'm glad I followed that last caller because I just want to say that, you know, we've spent several years around here in Jacksonville being in rebuilding modes and retooling modes and those kinds of things. And I just, over the last week, I know it's been frustrating with the way things have gone on the scoreboard, but I don't want this coaching staff to go anywhere. I don't want Dave Caldwell to go anywhere. I'd like to see 4, 5, 6 years of these guys, whatever it takes, just to have some consistency in philosophy and not have to start over again and not have to bring in new offensive coordinators that run away from things like zone blocking and have, you know, new schemes where you've got to get a different type of player in here. And I'm glad that Blake's in there and moving, and we're going to move forward a little bit now and give him a chance to grow with the other young players on the team. But some of the fans that are saying things about the coaching staff and that kind of thing, I don't want to see him go anywhere.
All right,
I agree with that.
That's fair.
Everybody, everybody, chill.
Well, I'll say this though: on the extreme end here, nobody's putting up with 6 years of this. Okay, you're crazy if you think you're going to get 6 years of Gus Bradley if this is the level of competitiveness of this football team. None of us expect that to continue to this degree. Hopefully it turns around sooner rather than later with a big assist from number 5.
Hey, Mike, well done today, by the way.
I thought you were outstanding today, JP.
You were the...
And Fred Taylor, of course, was the MVP.
he always is.
I mean, that's
right,
a
come
given.
On, of that's course. That's it for the Scoreboard Show. Stay tuned on 1010XL, the fifth quarter show. Hacker and T-Wig awaiting your call, 641-1010. If you didn't get on here, they'll probably take your call in the next hour or two. Final score, 44-17. We'll be on the air next week, 1 o'clock, the public tailgate show before the 405 kick, the Jags and the Chargers. Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato, our producers, for Mike Dempsey and everyone, this is JP Shadrick. We'll talk to you next week before the Jags and the Chargers.